podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hey, it's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Dr. Mike Gustafson. I'm Aaron Dickens. Brennan helping us out today after Clint had to rush to the restroom with a stomach issue, apparently. He's been dealing with some... a bug.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And, you know, we can smell the effects in here.
Thanks but, a lot. Yeah. We've got glass and walls between us and him.
Goodness gracious. I mean, I resorted to just spraying Febreze straight onto my upper lip just so that I could make
just the fight off
this plan. Bearable.
Uh-oh. Hurry, Clint, back to the studio.
Well, that's the, Clint, I mean, clearly the...
that smoke alarm.
Yeah. People across the building setting, lighting candles to try and mask the scent.
So,
set off the smoke alarm. Man, Clint.
Dang. It's Clint.
And
pants
apparently
around,
he tried
pants
to make
around
some,
knees comes running.
Yeah, apparently he tried to make some homemade skyline chili and it just didn't go well. We'd love to get your thoughts and comments today on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com. All guests appear via the Benchmark hotline. I'll get this from Shelley. So I guess it's going to be a full-on Friday show. It pretty much sounds yeah, like it.
Come out
definitely
swinging.
Is Friday. And then this on the chat line. Hey, guys, no Pop, no Bacho. How do we win tomorrow? Yes, those two players, rather important, I would say, to the performance of the Red Raiders. They are both game-time decisions
Ooh.
For the game tomorrow against Oklahoma. Goodness. That, according to Mark Adams, of course, you know, they were both involved in those that kind of last second sequence against Kansas. You know, Pop Isaac, and it's dangerous sometimes to kind of go to this well because you don't know context. You don't know if they're just kind of teasing. You don't know who the audience is for these things. But on Pop Isaac's Instagram, or I'm sorry, Snapchat, I guess, he said that he had a concussion, which is not something that just is like an overnight, oh, okay, no, you're fine now.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, well, can we redo that last about 10 seconds from that game the other day? For a lot of reasons. A, the result. B, the this. Because that was that same sequence that affected Bacho.
Right, on the other
hand.
Hand,
yeah. Goodness gracious.
I'll be curious to see a line for that game. I haven't found one yet. But, yeah, if you don't have either of them,
goodness,
it's going to be a... I mean, this is obvious. We all know this. If you've watched this Tech basketball team, if you've talked about it, if you've listened to it, we all know the deal. You don't have those two guys, you're in trouble. Even against an Oklahoma team that is... you know, like the Red Raiders, winless in the Big 12.
This might be the most, I was going to say it as the most winnable game on the schedule. Now, we also know that any win from here on out of any of these teams, we talked about this the other day, it'd be a first, you know, top quartile.
Oh, yeah, quad one.
I mean, quad one win. Yeah,
sure.
Just, you know, it'd be quality win galore, anyone you beat in this conference. But
your next Big 12 win, your first one, will be your best win of the season.
Right, right.
No matter who it's against.
Yes. And you know, for all the reasons that we covered a couple of days ago. But, you know, you look at Oklahoma and go, hey, you know, A, it needs to be one of the most winnable games on the schedule. Not because OU's bad, but you should look at everything else. I mean, next week you get to enjoy Ames and Austin, right? I mean, this isn't Murray State if we're trying to create a football equivalent, but it's, you know, it's what we were saying about the Kansas game, maybe. In terms of, hey, if you don't beat these guys, you got to go to Ames, you got to play the Sooner. You know, it has that sort of feel to it. And, I mean, you know, run a risk of being 0-3 with two home games behind you And I mean, just that this game tomorrow needs to be won, and it's too early to call anything a must win. But is they're it? More of a well. I was going to go the other direction. Go there may be a can't lose category.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
It's semantics. I
mean, both of these teams are 0-2, and surprisingly, there are four teams that are 0-2 right now in the Big 12, and I would say that three of them are not exactly just shockers, right? Yeah. I mean, Oklahoma, they've kind of had their issues. They're 0-2. Texas Tech is 0-2. They played two ranked teams, one of them on the road. West Virginia is 0-2. They've had their issues. And then Baylor. How about Baylor being 0-2?
Because they were the ones coming in. It was Kansas, Baylor, Texas. And here we are. But, yeah, both of those – I mean, the two games tomorrow involve the four teams. Somebody's coming out of those two games – two teams are coming out of those 0-3 and not feeling good about things at all.
Especially, I mean, there are no easy games, right, in this conference. And the Red Raiders, as you mentioned, will take on Iowa State in Ames after this game. And then they'll play at Texas. And then, heck, Oklahoma after this, they go to Lawrence. Oof. Right, so if Oklahoma loses this game, They're staring down the barrel of 0-4.
Mm-hmm. And if we lose this game, we're staring down the barrel of 0-4. Yeah.
Or 0-5.
I know.
Well, and then you get Baylor.
Yeah. And then that's right. The next home game will be Baylor in, 9-10 days? And that'll be a desperate club. The Baylor probably has to be jilted by this. I mean, we're probably all jilted in our own way by these things, but given the expectations that they had coming in as recently as a couple weeks ago, and maybe, you know, so yeah, and that's sort of prisoner of the moment-ish, but the fact is the longtime assistant who's been down there that has, you know, it finally left and went to K-State, and K-State is resurgent right now at the very least. Again, could, you know, that I doubt they're going to go 33-0 or whatever, but, and then, you know, Baylor for the first time in a long time struggling, it makes you kind of wonder, hey, is that assistant left? And they haven't been the same.
Now, kind of reminds you of maybe a recent football example involving Baylor and an assistant leaving.
Yeah, I like the sound of that.
How about
great
that?
Analogy.
Bobby Hot Dog says this, it gets worse than Skyline Chili AD. Clint revealed earlier that it is a Kansas school lunch delicacy to have chili with cinnamon rolls.
Oh.
Nebraska does that too.
Really?
Yeah. It must be some kind of upper Midwest deal.
Well, because, you know, my people were over toward Illinois, or in Illinois and toward St. Louis, and that wasn't a thing over there.
Well, okay, the upper uncivilized Midwest.
The western yeah. Prairie.
Yeah, the wasteland area.
Well, you call that the Great Plains. We're the South Plains, that's the Great Plains, and believe me.
No, they're so great.
I know, I knew you were going to say that.
Am I that predictable after 6 months, Gus?
Yes, you are, my friend, at least in that regard.
Would love to get your thoughts and comments today throughout the program on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at TT973.com.
Let's counter that. Didn't we get confirmation? We got confirmation on our transfer, right? On our basketball transfer? Did we get that?
Have we gotten confirmation?
I know. I keep all the positive murmurs coming out of that. We'll let that hang there for a little bit. Well, that's called a major market tease right there.
We'll check on some things. More Tech Talk next.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from TT97.3.
Hey, it's The Juice on TT97.3 and TT97.3.com with Gus and Brennan. I'm Aaron. Time for some headlines. The NFL owners have approved a plan that leaves open the possibility of a neutral site AFC championship game and could determine home field advantage for a wild card game between the Bengals and Ravens by a coin flip. This is all due to the cancellation of Monday's Bills-Bengals game. various different scenarios based on results from the upcoming NFL week could result in a Bills-Chiefs championship game in a neutral site, or even a Bengals versus Chiefs championship game at a neutral site. Michigan is being investigated by the NCAA for alleged recruiting violations during the COVID-19 recruiting dead period. The violations include alleged impermissible contact with recruits during the dead period, as well as the use of a defensive analyst for on-field coaching activities. Former Kansas State quarterback Skylar Thompson will start for the Dolphins on Sunday against the New York Jets. It will be Thompson's second start and sixth appearance of the season. Dolphins can clinch a playoff berth with a win over the Jets and a Patriots loss or tie this week. You too can join the program. Would love to hear from me on the H Flooring Center chat line at TT973.com. Let's see this on the H Flooring Center chat line. If candy corn is going to be named the state candy, Dickens is making a sign. Probably not. This in the chat line. We burned couches and turned over cars when we went to the NCAA championship game. We are sorry, fans. I mean, did some people do that? Yes. Did a lot of people do that? No.
I remember Brooks and his wife going down there. I guess they were fiancé at the time. Like, hey, we're going to go down there and check this thing out. But it wasn't that a Saturday night? That was the beauty of it, right? It was a Saturday night mm-hmm. for the Final Four, and they were down there kind of watching the – I don't think they were – that will strike me as the jump over the burning pile of limes, tip over cars type people, but I think they were – watching and go, well, this is quite a scene. I was getting texts right from the scene there.
that perfect opportunity for Scoopstiffson to come
true.
Out, you know?
There it was, Mike Scoopstiffson.
This in the chat line, AD wouldn't be advisable to wear flip-flops at a protest that involves marching. Might get your toes stepped on. I think I'm fairly good about kind of maintaining my space. And I'm also I wouldn't say fast. I'm a determined walker. So I don't feel like that I would be getting caught from behind there. This is in the chat line. AD, where's Clint? We've not heard from Clint since the start of the show. Apparently dealing with a stomach bug. He was rushing to the on-site facilities before our show. Brennan stepped in to fill in. And
I went down to the water fountain just moments ago, and I could still hear him in the restroom, just moans and groans.
Oh, man.
Yeah, pretty rough.
Well, then he tried making some soup in the break room and set off the fire alarm. So
off the building.
if there's a rake or a hoe out there somewhere, he's going to step on it and you know, get a welt on his head as his luck is going today. This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. I think Georgia wins by 14 points. Well, that's pretty much the line right now, give or take.
I was thinking 13, yeah.
It's not going to surprise me if Georgia wins this fairly comfortably, but I also am not going to just dismiss TCU's chances here because For as much as Georgia clearly has an on-paper talent advantage up and down the roster, they gave up 30 points to LSU in the SEC championship game, right?
Yeah.
They,
they haven't played elite recently. Especially not the defense. I mean, the defense hasn't played like we sort of picture that defense, first rounder, second rounder, first rounder, you know, a roster stacked with NFL dudes. And you know what? That was them this time last year, and so it's logical that they had a bunch of turnover. But it's just, you know, they're winning a lot more 40-30 games this year than just stuffing people.
LSU had 550 yards of offense. They passed for over 500 yards. Ohio State scored 41 points. They had 470 yards of offense. This Georgia defense can be had if you're on top of your game, right? And that
and they're hard to stop.
That's not always a guarantee, and that's very true as well.
Which is a flip of the narrative, because the last few years it's been offense is a little shaky, but man, you know they're running up against a brick wall when you're playing against them, and now it's a little bit different.
So, I think TCU will hang with Georgia for sure. Not going to surprise me at all if they win that game, and I think that's probably the result that the Big 12 is open for. This on the chat line from Bobby Hot Dogs. If only you guys had a soup tube, Clint would not have set off the smoke detector. Talk about a missed opportunity. That's true. Yeah. This on the chat line from Tracy in Dallas. Hey, boys, I need my daily football transfer portal update. I'll see what I can do to get this segment sponsored for you guys. Hey, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You can just cash app us. That's fine, too. I'm kidding. no real substantial news. A lot of still controversy, questions, intrigue about the Oklahoma State situation. There's chatter, again, about a meeting in Stillwater or the surrounding area between Gundy, the president of Oklahoma State, and the AD, Chad Weiberg. We'll see if there is any kind of staff movement there. From a tech perspective, nothing in or out. Very unlike Clint today. K-State, I think. Hold on. Oklahoma State did pick up someone. A kid named Justin Kirkland, who is a defensive tackle from Utah Tech.
I saw that there was an OSU DB that ended up at Notre Dame. I don't know that that's breaking news, though. But, and I don't even know if the guy's a contributor, to be honest. I just saw the name on a list and thought, you know, if the dude is
Thomas Harper.
Yeah, a player.
Mm-hmm.
So add him to the list of players and contributors. So basically, we can bake him into the conversation yesterday about how many key people they've lost.
Only played in 7 games this year due to injury, but over the course of 4 seasons in Stillwater, so he's utilizing his extra COVID year, 93 tackles and 2 interceptions for the Pokes. So there you go. We'll keep you posted. We're getting to a point where there should be some finality with a lot of these transfer portal decisions, because classes at Texas Tech start.
I think it's on Wednesday.
On this Wednesday, really?
Yeah, I believe this coming. Yeah. I think it's the 11th.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, January 11th.
Yeah, so that, the, and just that start date around the country will shut that down. I mean, the kids are going to be enrolled in class, and so the next round then becomes that, what, 15-day window in May?
Right.
I mean, I know the NCAA window is still open, but an institution, you can't bring a guy in 3 weeks into the semester.
Yeah, whereas in that summer deal, that 15-day window, you can commit to, you know, State U at the end of that, and then not show up until the end of summer, too.
Until
you
know, August.
You have some more flexibility
late
there.
July, yeah.
More Tech Talk next.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hey there, it's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Brennan. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6 o'clock. Would love to hear your thoughts and your comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at TT973.com. All guests appear via the Benchmark hotline. We get this on the chat line. I'm seeing many crystal ball projections for the Georgia transfer. Yes, we're talking about Kyron Lindsey from Georgia. He would be a mid-year transfer, although he would not be eligible to participate in this season. So it would be like Jalen Tyson from this time a year ago. And here's a dirty little secret. It's kind of like NIL, right? Where NIL was implemented to allow NCAA college athletes to benefit from their name, image, and likeness. So they'll profit from jerseys that are sold with their name on it. They can sell autographs. They can hold clinics or give private lessons, et cetera, et cetera. And that was what it was intended to be for. And what it rapidly turned into was, hey, here's a bag of cash to come play for my program. Either transfer here or sign here as a recruit.
The inducement.
The crystal ball and future cast stuff that, you know, 247 and Rivals have, those were, I assume, implemented to kind of give folks a chance to guess, right? And kind of take a shot at predicting where X, Y, or Z are going to sign or commit to. And what it ended up being is, you know, whenever a kid has made a decision, all the people that know about it will go and put in a crystal ball so that when he officially announces, they look right. And so when you see a wave of crystal balls, whether it's for a Tech target or whatever, all kind of landing on the same program, that's a giant tell. And so at this point, you know, just from that alone, my expectation is that you will get Lindsey, and it's only a matter of time, you know, that he'll announce his decision.
Yeah, and he's a 6'6", 6'7", guy. Played, you said it, Denton Guyer. Played last year as a true freshman. I don't know, 6'7" points, 5 rebounds a game. And so, you know, there was some production there. He wasn't on the end of the bench, just buried. And I don't know the real I would just say that he probably resembles, just physically, he probably resembles more of what the roster looked like last year in terms of just a little more size. Now, may not be the shooter that this year's group is, and so there's some trade there, but he's going to resemble more of that, that, you know, arms and those guys. Sounds like maybe O'Banner physically. Now, I mentioned seeing him at the Kansas game, and I knew where he was sitting and knew who he was, or at least knew some of his story. And I knew that he'd been in Fort Worth last weekend watching our game and then was here for Kansas. And the thing I saw was him shooting cell phone video of the surf swag thing or swag surf deal and just keeping an eye on our students. And I'm sure Coach Pinkins or whoever else had told him somewhere along the way, hey, these students get here in 9 days, so
right.
You know, this is going to get better.
This is just a taste. Yeah.
No, it was obviously Kansas, and so that was a pretty live group that day too. But I think he was, you know, my understanding is that he was highly recruited out of high school, and I had no idea. I assume. I mean, it's getting fairly common to see some of these kids wanting to come back, like they're. If their first choice doesn't work out, the NIL thing seems to bring them closer to home. That's, you know, and that's why we're seeing a lot of TCU football signs, and you know, we've seen that with SMU, and Coach McGuire's talked about wanting to be that for all the Texas kids that go off and want to come back to Texas. Here we are, and so that there's an element of that with this, but I think Tech basketball, I think it's I won't go so far as to call it standard practice. You might know this better than I do, but I think they will often stay one scholarship short to be nimble in situations like this. Somebody comes available that they can, close the deal and fill that spot. And so It's a nice addition, I think.
And he's a freshman,
yeah.
Right?
So 3 years left.
He'll have 3 years left to play. Mm-hmm. Rivals had him as the 119th ranked prospect in the 2020 class. And this is just kind of another example of why, you know, now there's potentially a payoff or a reward for coming in second or third in a recruitment.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Whereas in the past, if you came in second, you might as well have come in 64th. Right. Like you lost out and that investment is all kind of wasted and gone. And you can't recoup that at all. You can't translate that into. But now with the portal, and we saw this with Jalen Tyson, right? With the portal. If you're second, if you're third, if you're fourth, if you have a good relationship with these prospects and they go someplace and they don't like it as much as they thought, or you know, whatever the case may be, they can make a change, whether that's during their freshman year like Kyron Lindsey or later on, you're still there as an option.
The you know, speaking of five-star basketball players and some working out and some not, Illinois had one of their five stars, a point guard.
Sky Clark.
Yeah, Sky Clark. I had some intel on that this morning, but I was like, this isn't out there yet. and I'm not a newsbreaker. There's not much gain in it for me, not much upside. I don't have tied to it what you have tied. Maybe I should just leak to people that can benefit from it. I'll do a better job of that next time. Get it to you and let you run with it. But yeah, yeah, that was a five star.
You should start an anonymous Twitter account, actually. Ooh,
that's the game. That's right.
You know, call it something scoop. You know, Gus Scoop would be too obvious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. Trying to be anonymous.
Yeah.
No, different Gus. Yeah, that's Scoopstiffson. Mike Scoopstiffson.
I'm bringing that back. That's not the last we've heard of Scoopstiffson.
If I ever do anything important around here, you could call me.
But the Illinois thing, because you saw the Brad Underwood clip of him just going ballistic
on the huddle and then landing on TJ
Shannon.
Yeah, and remember, we had the clip in here, right before Christmas. When they lost the conference game right before Christmas, because the Big Ten will do a couple of conference games early, and the press conference they asked Underwood about, hey, Coach, you know, TJ Shannon's looking good, because you look at him on the stat sheet and looks good. Has he been valuable addition to the leadership core or something? It's something pertaining to leadership, and that was when he did the raspberries noise. He did the, you know. Just into the mic to the question, you know, I was like, oh, all right. Coach Underwood's not happy. And so it's not really something we would probably want to hear. But if TJ came out, and TJ's probably, it's probably easier to root for him than McCullough just because, you know, I have to play against them. Same thing we've talked about with Donovan Smith and mm-hmm. others. It helps if they go farther away. But you know, TJ Shannon's been rooting for Tech on Twitter and doing some things. Bacho will do some stuff, and he'll be tweeting that stuff up. And so a little bit easier. But if he were to come out in 6 months going, man, never should have left Tech, and I'm not saying he would say that or that's what he's thinking or whatever, I'm not even sure it's something I want to hear, right? You know, like, I don't want that consolation.
Right.
Unless you're coming back for the fifth year. And I don't know why he would.
Shannon, you know, we all had to hear it early in the season. You know, he scores almost 30 points against UCLA. He's blowing up the stat sheet. Scored 19 against Maryland, although the Illini lost that game in early December. But their most recent two conference games, total of 13 points.
Ooh. Mm. Yeah, and that's...
2 of 7 from 3.
Yeah, he would still be prominently figuring in our situation. You know, he'd be right in the middle of it. He'd probably be our best player among them for sure. But Yeah, that's the Hayes and the barn on that deal. Yeah, early in the year, he was nailed. Like, he had big games where he lit up, shot threes. And they're the ones, they beat Texas, dude. And it's, beat Texas, and then it's kind of been wah-wah since then.
More Tech Talk next.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hi there, it's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com with Gus and Brennan. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today till 6 o'clock. We'd love to hear your thoughts and your comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com. We'll have coverage of Friendship Girls Basketball tonight, beginning at 6 as they take on San Angelo Central here on Double T 97.3. Red Raiders in action tomorrow against Oklahoma. Both teams 0-2 in Big 12 play. Pivotal game for both teams. Granted, it's just game three of an 18-game schedule, but we all know how tough these wins are to come by no matter how good you are, no matter how healthy you are. And so starting out 0-3 is catastrophic. Catastrophic. I mean, if we wake up on Sunday and Tech has lost that game, you're looking at a situation where you've lost two home games, and you're supposed to kind of hold serve there for the most part. If you want to have a chance to go to the tournament, you need to win most, if not all, of your home games, and maybe steal, one on the road.
Yeah, if you lose the home game to the team, it's not often. It happens every once in a while that you then go and steal the road game from that same team, but it's that's a hard way to live.
So both of these teams will be very desperate, I would guess, tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. We'll have that coverage for you beginning at 5 on Double T 97.3. Other games in the Big 12, the whole league is in action this weekend. Texas at Oklahoma State. Be curious to see what the Longhorns can offer following the departure, the official dismissal of Chris Beard. Wonder if maybe the finality of that offers some closure and not as much of a distraction anymore.
Yeah, that's a good point. Nothing hanging over it in that sense. And they're also going to be a determined group coming off of giving up whatever it was, 115 points the other day at home.
Right. And then Iowa State at TCU. Ranked matchup. Cyclones, I think, have surprised folks with how good they've played so far this year. They beat Baylor, already in conference play. TCU running a pretty lengthy winning streak. Kansas at West Virginia, not terribly interested in that matchup. And then K-State Baylor in Waco. Jerome Tang returns to take on Scott Drew. These teams, so far, early in the season, kind of heading in opposite directions. K-State, one of the bigger surprises so far in the Big 12. And I would say Baylor, kind of the same, but just in a negative way, 0-2. I don't think anybody expected that. That game tipping off at 5 o'clock on ESPN Plus from Waco.
Yeah, I mean, it was a fairly consistent level of conversation about that Baylor team being one of the really elite teams in this conference, mentioned often in the same breath. Kansas, Texas, Baylor, those were the three headed into the season. And so it's awful early, but Baylor lost a player to Illinois, one of the guys that's running around, and with TJ Shannon up there, that's an interesting situation, the Illinois deal, just because they had some expectations and they made big splashes early. Like, the deeper they go, the worse they get. And I really wouldn't even bring it up if it didn't involve TJ and didn't involve Baylor kid. Help me with his name. They also got the news that Sky Clark, one of their 5-star players, has entered the portal. Illinois did, so. Some of those 5-stars don't work out, do they?
No, they don't.
We can start rolling through our list of 5-stars. I guess just the one, right?
Matthew Mayer is the...
There you go.
Baylor transfer.
Is Burton still our only actual 5-star? Namari?
Burnett?
I mean, Burnett, yes, sorry.
Yes.
I think so.
Yes. Yeah. And you know what? That's one of those things, too, to totally shift gears. That's one of those things, too, that I hope that McGuire can check off in the next few seasons. Texas Tech is one of the very few Power 5 programs. Again, very few Power 5 programs that has not signed a five-star prospect out of high school.
Right.
In kind of the modern recruiting coverage era. So the last 22 years.
Yeah.
Right? You've signed a junior college five-star, Robert Johnson. He turned out great. You know, he was not a quarterback, but he was a big-time contributor for you. You've had some transfers on campus that were five-stars, you know, at one point. Mike Mitchell didn't do anything for you. But you've not signed a five-star. And, I mean, heck, I think even Iowa State has done that. And part of that is – part of that's luck, right? If you know, you have a legacy type, kind of like a Jason Morrow type, that you have kind of an in with relationship-wise, mm-hmm. you know, that's a five-star, that would work. But you just haven't had that. And then part of it, too, is obviously that you've not had the best – you know, last decade on the field, and you've also not had head coaches. I mean, really, even back when Leach was here, that were just super intensely focused on recruiting. I mean, Tuberville was to some extent. I would say before McGuire, he was the most interested in recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully that gets fixed. Not that it matters. I mean, you won 8 games this year without a five-star. Yeah. Signing one won't guarantee you anything. It's just kind of, I don't know, it irritates me that you're just mm-hmm. one of these very, 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 very few programs that have not done that just over the last 20 years.
Yeah, you just want to see that.
Just break the glass ceiling.
Yeah, just get your name off that stupid list. Yeah.
You know, and the 24 class would be a great place to start.
Yeah.
You got big weekend plans?
No, I'll try to go to the game tomorrow night. But no, going to eat dinner with some friends after this, so after the show, but that's it. As I like to say, there won't be an alarm clock involved. And not that I sleep super late, but if I get up there around 8 o'clock, that's a whole lot better than 6 or 8:30. I'm not apologizing for it one bit if it's 9 o'clock. And the other thing, since I know there's an alarm clock tonight, I might stay up till, you know, 1 o'clock watching crap on HBO or whatever. Just whatever's on the list, whatever's dialed up and ready to go.
Yeah.
Not like you back in the old days with your Skinamax watching stuff through the cable TV bars and all the scramble.
Trying to decipher, you know.
Was that a boob?
Was that a nipple?
There it was.
You shouldn't shame people for, you know, their nipples.
Yeah. Hey. That's a hot key performance right there. Clint should pay. If Clint ever gets out of the commode down there, he should come down here and pay attention. By the way, I'm getting text messages to the direct line complimenting Brennan over here. You're going to call in a game tomorrow? You're just riding along.
I am going to San Angelo tomorrow to call LCU basketball at Angelo State. It's a doubleheader, sure. So the women's team will play. And then the men's team will play.
Then you on the mic? You on the call?
Yes, I'll do color analyst for the women's game and play-by-play for the men's game.
How about that? I've spent many a time in San Angelo.
Really?
My grandparents lived there for about, I don't know, a few years. Then they moved to Eastland.
Okay. Nice.
I don't have a lot of memories about San Angelo.
Yeah, cool.
Just a nice place.
Yeah, sure. Cool river running through town, and in baseball at least they butt heads pretty good. LCU and Angelo, that's a rival, and usually has them and WT. That's usually got repercussions there.
Yeah, WT and Angelo are considered rivals, or more rivals with West Texas A&M. But as far as baseball goes, you know, last year was kind of a weird year for LCU because towards the end it looked like we were going to make the NCAA tournament, mm-hmm. and we had a bad stretch down the road and then did not win in the Lone Star Conference tournament, and that kind of knocked us out of there. And, of course, Angelo State made it, and they have a terrific baseball program.
Yeah, they do. They've been the, they've really been the class of that conference since it's convened in the way that it is now, with that monster, what, 18 teams in that conference, 19, isn't it?
There's 16 teams in the conference.
I'm not sure why you looked at me there.
It's the big, I know, that's why it was more of a fleeting glance, like, yeah, you're no help. Wrong topic for you to be up. No. But it was the, at one point a couple years ago, it was the biggest conference in all of college sports. Because they basically just took two conferences and merged them. They didn't spin off anything, and so they were, it's a huge conference. And that's why their baseball team will only play conference games. There's no non-con.
We have a very important question on the chat line address next on Double T 97.3.
It's every Red Raiders favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Brennan. I'm Aaron. We're with you until 6 tonight. Plenty of time left for you to weigh in with your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. All guests appear via the benchmark hotline. This on the chat line. Okay, Gus, as I'm getting tooted, can't wait for baseball. Who is the starting pitcher?
Oh, wow. I would guess, I'd probably put Mason Molina in there. Washburn's brother, Jack Washburn. It's Owen Washburn's brother who's transferred in. And maybe Gurton. Yep, he was throwing hard and looking good last fall. So, hey, one of the little things that's out there right now, and somebody had texted this in. Oh man. Remember you guys enjoying me being rattled by the baseball question? I couldn't think of the – I didn't have my roster.
Mm-hmm.
Remember? You guys were like, well, this is rich. Then somebody said, is anybody coming in at Christmas or basically at semester that could help baseball? Mm-hmm. Well, you can't do what you used to do back then. Like back in the day, 15 years ago, you could go out and get a, pluck a guy from JUCO and get him, you know, he'd be at, you know, Podunk Junior College in the fall and your place in the spring. Can't do that anymore, but a high school kid can graduate early, and that's what's happened. Shortstop named Will Burns, freshman from California, will be here this spring. So not a guy that went through fall ball this fall. He was, I believe he was playing quarterback for his football team in California, and he's a, supposedly a talented player, but it's been written about nationally in one of the previews. One of the national previews wrote about this young man as being part of the picture of the shortstop consideration.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure that the writer, and I don't know that it's any secret or anything, but I don't know that the writer realized that he's talking about someone that when he wrote that article was probably in, you know, saying goodbye to his senior English teacher or whatever about to graduate. But yeah, so that'll be a new wrinkle for as opposed to something new for January as opposed to fall. And there'll be some, you know, there's always some guys that don't throw as much in this fall, whether they're rehabbing or working on something or whatever, that, you know, obviously everything pushes toward the January practices and scrimmages and stuff, so probably not. There may be guys out there playing catch and hitting ground balls and doing that kind of stuff. No team-related stuff now, today, as we speak, especially with this pretty weather. But I think this time next week there'll be structure and coaches and guidance and all that kind of stuff going on. I don't know that there'll be scrimmaging this time next week, but they'll be getting after it.
Shelley asks this, any insight on Bo Blessy, Dr. Scoopterson?
Yeah, well, no real insight. He looked good this fall. You're talking about a proven veteran. I don't say proven veteran, but a grown man. You know, fifth year senior, and the son of a coach, and he too was written up and played up in that preview that I read. He's got chops. I mean, he's the kind of guy that if he takes a step forward and is a key bullpen guy, I see him as a bullpen guy, being a guy that could come in and be a short burst to, you know, inning two, maybe three, and you know, throw hard and throw a breaking ball for a strike and have a little, have some guts. You know, he threw one of the key shutout innings. May have gotten the win in the extra inning in the walk-off Kurt Wilson grand slam. Might have got the win in that, but pitched out of a bases loaded. You know, one of the guys that had a bunch of hits and home runs and all that stuff, and bases loaded, two outs. So here we go. I mean, game on the line, and he, bless, he blew his doors off. And so that he's got some cojones, you know, he does. There's some toughness there and all that. And so I'm excited. I hope he's a key bullpen piece. Yeah.
Someone else asks, how about the other Washburn big impact question mark?
Yeah, I think though that's the I mean, if the other Washburn is Jack, the pitcher, I think there's a key role for him and hopes and aspirations and all that, and it'd be a draft year for him. But that's a Team USA level talent. Pitched at Ole Miss last year and kind of, I don't remember, 30, 40 innings, was dealing with some, I want to say some leg injury type, you know, like couldn't shake a hamstring type deal, which that can be a big deal for a pitcher. But he's here and supposedly happy and supposedly healthy and, you know, probably a really unique opportunity to get to play with his brother one more time.
Sure.
And if Jack has the kind of year they expect him to, he'll be off and running. But he did do a little tiny bit in fall ball on the mound in front of hitters. I'm not saying he didn't throw a million bullpens, but he and he really wasn't cutting it loose or anything. It was just kind of a near the end of fall. He got an inning here and an inning there just to get him on the mound, I'm sure. But hey, I'm looking forward to good things from him. But he looks good. Looks the part. You know, he can spin a breaking ball, and the fastball's up there in the mid-90s and all those things. So, yeah.
Lindale Jeff has this on the channel. AD, I was listening to the podcast last night of yesterday's show around midnight. You had some hot sports opinions about popcorn. And I thought, popcorn, that sounds pretty good and would go great with a Jameson and Coke. And it was microwave movie butter. It was not as good as at the theater. But it was satisfying. So thanks. It was a great midnight snack. You're welcome, Lindale. Mm-hmm. This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. The former radio host R.C. Maxfield, is he the same person as R.C. Maxfield Bradbury? If so, where did the Bradbury come from? The dude get married and take his wife's name or something? I got to tell you, man, got no idea. That I have nothing to add. I tweet at him. I don't know. Jay says, do you guys think that Chris Beard needs heart moving in storage right now? I mean, probably a lengthy list of things that Chris Beard would need. But yeah, heart moving in storage should be on that list. I've had nothing but great experiences with, I think, three moves with them.
All right. Okay. Nice.
This from Ben. What baseball transfers should we be looking at?
Let's go with Washburn,
okay.
Most notably. There's really a handful of them, and I don't know exactly how that's going to play out. Gavin Cash, a first baseman from Texas, he actually started one of the three games against us here last year, but didn't play a ton.
Great sports name.
Gavin Cash. Oh, yeah, it really is. It's Kash, yeah. Because that's a transfer question, so I need to think about that. We'll get Kevin Bazell, who was another guy that came in. He was our Jalen Tyson of baseball, came in at Christmas last year, but ineligible because he came here from DBU, but a catcher, third baseman, whatever, technically will be a redshirt freshman, but probably going to be a three-year guy, so I would imagine he'll be out there for two more years, and then that'll be it. But catch and play third and first and DH and hopefully hit home runs and do all those things. But that's not a brand-new transfer. Nolan Hester, high school kid from DFW, probably plays some left field, and he was a high school teammate of
Roger Clemens.
Wow, really old. Those COVID years and red shirts. Cole Stillwell.
Okay, you know, that was my next guess.
Yeah, would have been, and I don't know if they were the same age or maybe 1 year apart, but I think Nolan will just be a one-and-done guy this year. Maybe forgetting somebody there, but yeah, that's it's a good group. you know, this Will Burns guy is the intriguing one. Of course, that's not a transfer, so your question is about transfer, I'll be quiet. But the anytime a high school senior comes in or skips a semester or reclassifies or whatever, pick the sport. See it in basketball. We've got that right now in Elijah.
Mm-hmm. Fisher.
Fisher, thank you. He reclassified, I believe. Now, he was in Canada for high school, so I don't know exactly how that worked. But, I think, that anytime you get somebody reclassifies, that's interesting because you don't just do that. You know, the team may not always open the door and say, yeah, come on, you know. And the kid, it's not always great for the kid to go skip senior year if not going to play and be a contributor. And so how's that all fit? I don't know, but that'll be interesting to see.
That is interesting calculus, right? Because on the one hand, and it might actually be better in football where you probably aren't expected to contribute, right away. Sure. So it is great to get a jump start on acclimating to college life, the structure of a football program,
academics,
having
room,
just like 10 hours of free time every week, but a bit different in baseball and basketball.
This has been the Tech Talk Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at Double T 97.3.com.